Japan 2.0.
Tell me where you want to go.
You see me on your television. You hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes.
But tell me where you want to go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me where you want to go.
2.0.
Welcome to Japan 2.0. I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
And I am the other host, the other half of the Japan 2.0 duo, David.
Yeah. And we're coming to you from Kyoto.
That we are, down in the basement of Kyoto.
Yeah, we are. It's actually not a basement.
Is it not? It's ground level?
No, it's ground level. But like yeah, it does. We're recording from La Siesta, which is a video game bar in Kyoto.
Staring at a giant Game Boy right now. It's about half the size of Matt.
It's totally glitching out.
It is glitching out on Tetris.
Yeah, and I was playing some Star Fox, which is one of my favorite Super NES games, or Super Famicom games.
Drinking a Sapporo Edelpiss.
That's the only place you could get that, I guess, because I've never seen that that Sapporo anywhere else.
But today we're here to talk to you about an awesome place in Japan.
Yeah.
Kyoto.
Kyoto. I mean,
have you heard of it?
I'm sure most people have. I mean, it's a famous tourist destination for people all around the world. Both of us live in Kansai, right?
Yeah.
So we're not too far from Kyoto. We're probably about an hour and a half away.
Is that how long it takes you?
About an hour and a half from my home. But, I mean, I don't live in Umeda. I don't live, like, in the middle of Osaka. I live at the southern Osaka. So it takes a little longer.
It's an hour and a half for me, too.
Yeah, so about the same distance for both of us.
And we just talked about it before recording, but every time I come here, for me, it's... I want to stay longer. I feel like Cinderella. Like, when I have to go home, I'm like, man, there's like 30 other things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you're saying, why don't I come here more? Here's the question.
I ask myself that every time I come here. Why don't I come here more often? I always try to get out really early to Kyoto just so I have like a long day here. And I never quite, never quite works
like
out.
Cinderella,
you know? But I don't know. There's something... I mean, there is something magical about this place, and I see why, like, you know, tourists and locals alike are attracted to Kyoto.
Yeah. Funny thing for me, this is so true to me as my character, is so many of my favorite things that I love, I didn't like the first time, and I actually had a bad experience in Kyoto my first time I came here. As a tourist, and the problem was that I had drank the night before. So I had a bad headache the whole day. I got really lost on the trains. And I was supposed to meet a friend, a Japanese friend, and it's pretty rude to be late here in Japan. I was so late, over an hour late. And I had no phone. That was the issue. I had no way to contact him. And I was just, like, frantic. And I remember I hadn't showered in days either, and it was, like, really hot. And I was just, like, wearing, like, I just wore, like, shorts and t-shirt as pajamas the night before. And it was just this... bad situation, like just me not being a great traveler. I hadn't traveled a whole lot then, having a bad time. But it was awesome. We went to onsen. It was my first onsen in Japan, and it was up in the mountains, and that was kind of cool to be out naked bathing in the mountains and nature. And in the end, it was pretty good, but I just saw such a small sliver of Kyoto, and I couldn't focus on the moment because of outside reasons, and I don't know, I wasn't really psyched to come back. I came back years later, but I was totally wrong. You'll find out why after we talk about it, but Kyoto is debatable my favorite place in Japan. I mean, I always talk about Tokyo, I'll explain why later, but Kyoto is, for me, is maybe my second or first favorite place.
Well, you might be surprised to hear that my first experience wasn't that great either. I came to do a tour of Kansai. It was like my second trip to Japan. I was living at Korea at the time, and I had some vacation, so I decided to come over to Japan. And the day I got into Osaka, I was sick, like really sick. And I was supposed to spend a couple of days in Osaka, a couple of days in Kyoto, a couple of days in Tokyo. And by the time I got to Kyoto, I was really ill. And I was supposed to stay at a hostel, and I couldn't find it. I was walking around for forever. I can't remember. It's kind of in the northern area. It looks like a house, or because I couldn't find it.
Never
found it. I actually ended up going back to... I was supposed to spend a couple of days in Osaka, or... in Kyoto, but what I ended up doing is just getting on the Shinkansen because I had the pass, and I went right to Tokyo because I knew where I could find a hotel.
Oh, man, that's even worse than mine. So you just came, walked around, looked for the hostel, couldn't find it.
Yeah, yeah. And the weather was not good the day I came. It was like, it wasn't raining hard. It was just kind of sprinkling, or you know, it was like a mist. And at that point, I was not feeling good. I was tired. My feet hurt. You know, like I was done. So I knew like it was time to go. You know, and so yeah, my first impressions. I mean, they were cool. I thought the whole area looked neat and interesting, and I wanted to spend more time, but I just didn't have the chance to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
my big worry about it was it was going to be touristy. And I think in my day here, I only saw the temples and shrines. And I like temples and shrines, but I'm kind of the type of person that's like, I can only handle one or two a day. Because I just kind of get numb to them. Same with art galleries we just did our last episode on. You know, I can't go to them every weekend because they start... Or when I went to Europe and I was going like every day, I was at these amazing places and you just can't appreciate it. So I was worried there'd just be all temples, all like traditional museums, yeah, touristy stuff, you know. And I knew it had a city, but I was like, well, you know, Osaka and Kobe have cities too. Like, surely it's a secondary thing in Kyoto. But the big savior for me with Kyoto is that the city alone, if you take away all the cool traditional stuff, the city is smaller than Osaka and Kobe, but I think the quality is just so good. Like, such cool shops, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's kind of like an I wouldn't say like, well, maybe artistic vibe or artisan vibe.
I was planning, like, I was like, that's the word I'm
yeah,
gonna use, the adjective.
Artisan.
Because you literally look in the shops and you just see these ancient people barely alive, still working to the bone, making something by hand all over the place here.
Yeah, I've seen people doing like tapestry, like in like print. There's like people working
any
in like little shops.
Creation you can imagine by hand, not like with machines. You just see the machine stuff too. You'll see it here. Like, it's incredible. And I would say in Japan in general, you still see that, but it's like tenfold here.
Yeah, you could see little shops. So that, I mean, I've probably been here for 30, 40, you know, even longer, 50 years, 60 years. I mean,
how long is this?
Oh, this is from Ninja Turtles. Yeah, so the Konami fun. Ninja
so
Turtles.
Happy.
Yeah,
you have these moments living in Japan. That's like, I'm in Japan right now. I guess you would think that's happening all the time. Like, you're just looking around you. But after a couple of weeks here, you get numb to it, and this feels like anything else. You know, especially when you have friends like Matt, and we're just talking English, doing the same thing we do anywhere in the world.
Yeah,
and then Ninja Turtles plays in the background, and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it takes you back to your childhood,
I've
man.
Made it. Yeah,
but I mean. Going back to Kyoto, I mean, the city is really incredible. I mean, there's great food, there's great shopping.
How's it different from Osaka or Kobe, the nearby cities?
Well, I would say that, like, I guess if you come into Kyoto Station, there's not that much around Kyoto Station.
Kyoto
there's
Station
hotel.
Itself is amazing, though. Like,
oh, it's an incredible station. Yeah, it's got
a
high roof.
Like that.
It's got shops inside there. There's a lot of, like, I mean, it's kind of tourist trappy. It's got like all these souvenir shops and stuff, but all big Japanese
it's like a nice
stations have
department stores. There's a hotel in there actually, and
yeah.
If you get it from one angle, it's a really cool looking building. Certain other exits aren't as cool, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're totally right. You'd think you get off at Kyoto Station. We actually had a girl, one of our listeners named Jordan, who emailed us, and I was like, "Don't stay near Kyoto Station." And she's like, "Oh, thanks." Because yeah, I mean, I would have thought that too. Osaka Station is cool, you know, Kobe Station is pretty cool, but yeah, Kyoto Station, you kind of want to get away from there.
Yeah, as you're walking, there's one thing you should check out if you're at Kyoto Station. There's a Yotsubashi camera.
Yeah, that is cool. Oh, and those aren't that prevalent either.
Yes, so. Did I say Yotsubashi? Yotsubashi camera.
Yeah.
There's the Yotsubashi camera, and anybody who is coming to Japan, if you could only go to Kyoto, I recommend going to a Yotsubashi camera because has a ton of stuff we like, you know,
you
comics, video games.
A full day. You should do a favorite thing about Japan about that place because I know you're super into it.
Well, maybe I will so this episode.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There's our segment. We'll do it later. So in a couple of minutes, you'll hear more about that. Yeah,
but, that's a cool place. There's also bike rentals.
I was going to say, I always rent my bikes by Kyoto Station.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can just bike up to the main part in about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, there's... not too far from Kyoto Station, there's a big castle as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a huge... I mean, we've walked by it a few times. It's like on that big walk into the main part of the city.
So that's my thing with Kyoto, and it reminds me of Rome a lot. If you've ever been to Rome, is you don't need to plan. I mean, yeah, if you want to see a certain special temple, then all right, plan it out. I would recommend, though, just choose a direction, rent a bike if the weather is decent, and you're gonna see, it's like being in a museum. Like, the city is like a museum. And the cool thing is, if you want to see that stuff, then you'll filter that, and that'll be your perspective. If you want to look for record shops and clothing shops and cool restaurants, like I do, because I live here, you know, that's what you see too. I think you run into all the coolest. You don't have to go looking for temples and stuff, right?
No way. I mean, you could spend... it depends on what you want to do, of course. But, I mean, our podcast is a Japanese subculture podcast. So, I mean, I think the things that I think a lot of our listeners will look for is the record shops and the clothing shops. And the
8-bit video game bars.
Yeah, the video game bars. Yeah, exactly. Those are the... I mean, those are the kind of things that, I mean, we love about this place. Yeah. But, I mean, I like the temples, too.
I like
the
them.
Temples are some of the most incredible temples I've seen.
Yeah.
There's one that I think everybody has to see, and it's a thousand gates. And
I only went there about 6 months ago for the first time ever.
Yeah.
It's really good, yeah.
It's amazing. It's like they erected all these torii, which are these... gates into the spiritual world, and you'll see them all over Japan, but this particular temple has one going all the way up the mountain. I mean, there's probably more than 1,000, actually. It's incredible.
It's cool to see the difference in the age, because some of them are really old and they use different materials almost, you know, like a different kind of wood. Some of them are cement, is that right?
Yeah, they've been replacing them, I think. With the
you
ones
pay
that will last
money,
long.
You donate money basically, and you'll get your own little shrine, your own toy.
And you could write your prayers on them and stuff.
But there's these cool side tracks you can go off, right?
Yeah, a lot of people don't take these, they're these side paths you just go off of, and it'll take you through like a lot of mausoleums that are going all the way up into the mountains. The only way I could describe it is it's like an Indiana Jones moment.
That's
where you walk around a corner and you're on this tiny little path through a bamboo forest, and all of a sudden there's all these gravestones everywhere.
Yeah, you just have it to yourself.
And tons of those gates, like miniature gates, like everywhere, just like laying on things, falling down.
This is one of the major spots, and if you go to the major spots, they are crowded. I think that is one of the downsides, especially if you're here during like Sakura season or the changing of the leaves in the fall.
But the really Japan 2.0 tip is don't take the main path.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like if you could find like the small path that goes out of, a little bit out of your way, I highly recommend it.
You'd be shocked to find out how few people do actually. That like 90% of them stay on the path.
Yeah,
and very few go off. Yeah, and that's the best stuff. Up there, I saw a bamboo telephone post. Like it's just like a bamboo tree, and they made the telephone wire and post on it. It was one of the cool. I have a picture of it. I'll repost it. But it's one of the coolest things that I've ever seen.
Yeah, Tom, friend of the podcast, Tom, and I went up there one day, and we took the side path, and we went all the way up, and we saw this crazy, there's this like house just with a vending machine on it, and we sat down there, had some coffee, some Boss coffee, and there were tons of cats, like cats everywhere. I mean, there's like There's like hidden things, you know.
Were they friendly?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they were friendly. They were coming up to us and rolling around in the dirt and wrestling with each other and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Famous for, like, cats, right? I mean, like, they really like cats, and there's, like, the lucky cat thing. Is that Japanese or Chinese?
I don't know where it originated.
Well, they're here. You see them a lot here, too. I had this expectation that, like, cats were so loved here that people must be so nice to them and always feeding them that they would be super friendly. I don't know. To me, I feel like the cats I get in Kobe and Suma, they're kind of skittish.
Yeah, you know, I
more,
think
I'm a little disappointed.
I think they're a little more feral than and most people have feral cats. Like, they put out food for them and stuff, and then they just hang out.
They're a different breed of cat, too, here. Their faces are a little more smushed in. They're not like a straight-up smushed-in face cat. They have a stubbier tail, I would say, too.
Some of them are missing tails.
The cats look different here than they did in Korea or they did in the U.S., to me.
Yeah, I mean, they probably all breed with one another. Yeah. That would make
it's an island, so they don't...
Evolutionary sense,
They don't get too exotic or anything. But, yeah, it's a small sidetrack, but the Thousand Tori, Thousand Gates are really cool.
Yeah.
Among the famous ones, I like Kiminizodera, something like that. I'll come in and edit and correct it, but it's like a water temple.
Is it the aqueduct, the big aqueduct that they have the running pass of water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That one's awesome. And you look off like into the mountains, and you can see like pagodas coming up, and there's like the like paper a lot of paper lanterns there, and that one's really really big. You can spend a long time. There's this thing called the womb, like the mother's womb there, and you go down below and it's pitch black and you're just feeling around these like wooden rails, and then there's like this like lit up Buddha on the inside. And that's really
cool. No, I haven't been to that yet.
I think you pay 100 yen to go there.
That's a steal.
Yeah, but you should say that some of the temples here do cost money, which normally in Japan, go to any other big city, awesome temples too. So some of the temples can be overrated, or you might pay money and you have an expectation. But generally, I think going to temples, it's like free. So it's art in this sanctuary kind of place, you know? So there's no expectation, and usually it's a really cool experience. So I have had a couple here I paid money for, and I was like, oh, I don't know why I have to pay for this one.
Yeah, but 100 yen?
It's 100 yen to go to the bottom. I've gone to some that were like $6 or $7. And I've only done it, I felt kind of burnt, so now if I had to pay, I kind of just say, nah, I won't go.
There's so many you could go to.
I'm not a religious person, so I'm not really going there for that element. I'm just looking at the building structures, you know, and stuff. So
I think temples are cool to go to. Just, I mean, for aesthetically, they're so pleasing. Like,
I go for the smell. Yeah. The incense are awesome, especially Kyoto incense. Like, the Kyoto ones, there's something special about them. So good. I know you don't like incense.
No, I'm okay with it.
When they're outside,
I don't mind the incense. All right. Especially outside. But I don't like particular incense.
Okay, you know? All right. Like the hippie Jamaican ones.
No, I actually don't mind that much. I mean, I grew up Catholic, so I used to go to the Mass, and they have these incense that were really pungent, and that used to make me feel nauseated. But that's neither here nor there.
And Kyoto,
they're very pleasing to smell, you know.
That made me so happy. It's like, I should say that for a future favorite thing about Japan.
There's a lot of times the temples might not ask you for money, but they have
donations.
Get like a prayer. And one that I think is particularly cool is a couple temples out here have these rice paper sheets. You give a donation, and they'll give you this rice paper sheet, and you write your prayer on the sheet, and then you put it in a bucket of water, and you see your prayer goes on top of all the other sheets, and they're slowly becoming more opaque and disintegrating, and until they eventually evaporate and disappear. And I don't know. I thought that I've never seen anything like that, and I thought that was really really cool.
Yeah, only some have that. The typical one is more like a wooden plaque, and every temple has their own special one. the one by my house has a hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil monkeys.
Yeah.
One. But yeah, there's just like three or four you can choose from, and you can write a message. You can do the crane thing.
You could do the tying the tree. Yeah, tying your if you get a bad fortune, like you could pay for a fortune. Mm-hmm. If you get a bad fortune, then you tie it on a tree so you don't, or on a fence so you don't, you leave that fortune, the bad fortune behind.
Yeah.
You could see all that here in Kyoto. Yeah. I mean, that's common.
There's a lot of famous temples that are going to be crowded. I guess my advice is, go to one or two that you're going to like, you know? But just go walk in a direction, find your own, and they're not as crowded. Sometimes they're a lot cooler than the famous ones.
Or sometimes if you take a mountain path or something, you might come across a temple that's, you know, pretty much to you have it to yourself, you know?
Yeah. I would say get lost in Kyoto. Get lost anywhere in Japan, but especially in Kyoto. Like, I've headed in every direction you could go, and I've always found the coolest stuff. Just sit in and watch, like, people making stuff in their buildings, you know. I'll find a cool, like, modern, like, you know, clothing shop, and then there'll be a temple, like, all mixed together, and it's always super cool.
Yeah, that juxtaposition, the new and the old, you know, is everywhere you go.
Japan is famous for it, but no other city in Kyoto. It's
Kyoto embodies that. You were talking about smells.
Yeah.
And I actually think that Kyoto has its own smell.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've noticed this.
I mean, I would have to say incense again, because that's just so many temples. But no, beyond that, I can't.
So I've been whenever I go into places, Art Rock, which is one of our favorite record stores in Kyoto, has a smell. And then also a couple of restaurants that we go to a lot. My wife and I, we really like this restaurant that does udon with cheese on top. It's kind of like a local, like local people know it. And it has that same smell. But I think
same
what it is.
Same as Art Rock?
Yeah, same one.
What?
But I think what it is it's the a lot of the buildings are made with the same, like, either wood or there's a lot of, like,
wood here is for
wood,
sure.
Wood windows, wood paneling on the
and
walls.
And it's like turning black usually. Yeah. You notice that? It's like certain wood that when it ages,
well,
it turns.
Luckily the restaurant wasn't turning black, but it has like this musty kind of, the way I'd describe it is like a used bookstore back in the States, you know, like it has that. It's not musty in an offensive way. It's just like kind of
smells vintage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it has to do with the age of a lot of the buildings and a lot of the materials they use to build the buildings.
On that note, Japan's, you know, famous, like they care a lot about safety and stuff. And one unique thing to Kyoto that I've never seen anywhere else in Japan is that they have strict fire regulations. Have you noticed this?
Oh, I haven't noticed.
And whenever you go through any of the residential neighborhoods here, they all have these red metal buckets, like every block. Like, they're very prevalent. I've never seen it anywhere else. There's some kanji on it. And they're just, you just see these red buckets every single corner on the block. And I think it's because so many of the houses here are made of wood that if there's a fire, like, they're going to go down, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have quite a few of those here in Kyoto, but they do have those in Osaka as well.
Mm.
You could see them in Osaka. You could sometimes see them in Tokyo as well, too. But usually, like, in neighborhoods where there's more of older people, you know. I think it's the old style, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think most of the neighborhoods here are that old style, so you see it, like, all the time, whereas maybe only special neighborhoods in those other areas would have that, you know?
Yeah.
I
mean, do you think there's a lot of tourism in Kyoto?
Is there a lot of tourism?
Yeah, like, I mean, you were talking about how, like, you thought, like, your expectations were that it was going to be
a tourist trap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just, like, touristy, but
it's definitely touristy. But
where is it most touristy?
Oh, Gyan is the worst place in Kyoto. You want to avoid? I mean, I guess
you don't want to avoid it because we come here all the time, right?
Gyan? Like, we don't go like proper Gyan.
But we do for the like for the record shops and stuff. Isn't that right? Or are we thinking of different places?
No. The record shop.
Gyan is like the.
It's nearer. You're right. It's like a 3 or 4 minute walk. But if you go in the other direction. you can go to Gyan once. Just don't. There's restaurants there that are all like $100 to $200, and I don't know how those are. Maybe they're awesome. But then the ones that are like more affordable are bad. Some of the worst meals I've had in my life have been in Kyoto.
Really?
And some of the best meals I've had in my life have been in Kyoto. Mm. So I think on that note, get off the main road. Like the main roads are, especially around Gyan, Shijo Station is near Gyan as well. Super cool area. But just get off the big road where the traffic is and take some smaller roads.
Yeah, that's what I recommend. I think Kyoto is a great place for alleys and back streets, you know. And you'll definitely see more of like traditional Kyoto life, you know, and you know, a lot of the newer cafes and more independent places.
Yeah. Do you have anywhere else to talk about in terms of like temples or
I would say, have you ever shrines? I would ask if you've ever been to the monkey park.
Yeah. All right, good. I meant to talk about that. Arashiyama is another famous area of Kyoto. Again, it's touristy. You gotta go though. But again, like, cause we live here, I'm never like, hey Matt, let's go to Arashiyama.
No.
But if I have a friend that comes to visit, I'm like, alright, yeah, let's go there. And there's the bamboo forest is there. It's cool. Again, you gotta go once or twice. People have rickshaws.
Yeah.
Please don't think in Japan people run around with rickshaws still. But this is like the one area that I've ever seen it.
Here in Tokyo.
Asakusa, they have it too, yeah. But in that area, there's one thing that's awesome I've gone back to multiple times, and it's a small little hike, like a 10-minute hike, 20-minute hike, and at the top is a bunch of monkeys, and the cool thing about it is it's free, or it's... No, it's not free. It's like $2 to $3.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
Yeah. And
it's definitely worth it. Whatever.
You go inside a house, and the monkeys are outside. So it's like you're in this cage in the house, and all these monkeys are coming in looking at you. I really like that inverse nature.
Yeah, you could buy like snacks and feed them through the I guess it's like chicken wire, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you've been up there?
Yeah, of course.
Did you go in the summer? What season?
I went in the summer, and I got to see like. The monkeys were dive bombing into like
this pool. You're the one who did that.
It was really awesome.
Yeah, they jump off the little house into the pool. I've gone in the all seasons, and the monkeys are always doing different things. They're huddling up, you know, staying warm.
It's kind of frightening. I mean, if you're afraid of monkeys, like, this is not a place for you, because they literally are
a foot away from
in a monkey park. Yeah. There are monkeys everywhere.
You're in their environment, like, a foot away from them, and it's awesome. It's like no zoo. It's not a zoo, you know. You're just hanging out in the mountains with monkeys.
Yeah.
And there's like handlers who would help out, you know.
Yeah.
We had one kind of charge us once, and this guy came and like I did some special stare at it, you know.
And pushed him away.
No, not like that.
No, it seems like they really respect the monkeys up there. I mean, they let them go free.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no fences that keep them in. That just monkeys don't.
A lot of people are against stay there. Zoos and stuff. You know, now with all these documentaries coming out, this is like the most greatest place. You know, like again, you're the one who's put into a little house.
Not to mention the view up there is incredible.
Yeah,
there's like
a
view of Kyoto that you can see everything.
Yeah, and all the food to feed the animals is like $1. Like again, everything's really
it's
cheap.
So cheap,
reasonable.
Yeah.
That place is great, and I don't even know if we heard about it. I think we just happened upon it, you know.
So that's Christy from Korea.
She
told me about it. Yeah, that's where I learned about it. She'd come back and then she told us about it. Yeah.
Ah, cool. Well, there you go. It's not super known one. That's a Japan 2.0 hack for you.
Yeah,
it's not even our segment. We'll take that. But I think we're gonna transition. We'll do our break. And then the second half, we're going to focus more on just the city side, which I think is underreported on with Kyoto.
Some of our favorite places. So,
yeah.
We'll be back. And I'm going to talk about
One of my
favorite places. Yeah, it's Yodobashi Camera. Yeah, there are a lot of department stores, and there are a lot of like electronics stores. There's Bit Camera and Lobby, and Yodobashi Camera.
Those are the big three.
And but I think the one that wins hands down is Yodobashi Camera. It's a huge mecca of like electronics, and if you're anything like me, you just want it all, you know.
I think it might cost a little bit more than Lobby. I think Lobby's the cheapest one, but the selection is not as good.
Yeah, and it depends on what you want to get. Like, I mean, a Lobby is a good place to get, like, I think appliances, and they have video games and stuff too. But Yodobashi Camera specializes in everything from cameras to
DJ equipment
to instruments.
Liz bought a Michael Kors watch there, new. Like, they have like designer watches and stuff. She couldn't find it. She's looking for this particular watch. She went to all the official stores, and at Yodobashi Camera, they had it. We were mind blown, you know?
Phones, toys, video games, comic books. I mean, they have everything in there. I mean, it's such a big electronics store.
Massive,
they have restaurants on usually the top floor, you know.
Yeah, and they have the Uniqlo in there, and there's tons of other stuff in there. You're right.
Yeah, I highly, if you're like me, kind of like otaku, you know, I mean, you love this kind of stuff. They have gacha machines, which, you know, which we are big fans of.
Check out our gacha video on our blog.
Yep.
How would you describe it to someone who, like, maybe doesn't know that much about Japan? How should they visualize this place? You know, they live in Canada or America or Australia.
I mean, you probably have like a electronics shop, like a Best Buy or Circuit City. Or I guess Circuit City's gone, probably.
How's it different with Best Buy?
Well, I mean, Best Buy is pretty big. It has like specific departments. This is a floor of usually like one or two things. Like, I mean,
every department has its own floor.
Yeah,
and goes up.
The floors are huge, you know?
So it's like 10 stories high.
Yeah, and each floor is totally awesome. And it if you want, like, cooking gear or utensils or, like, rice cookers and stuff, they have it. I mean, they have everything.
It's like jacking into the Matrix. And I honestly sometimes, I can't. The first time I went, I think I spent 4 or 5 hours in this place. I don't know how I did it. Because now, honestly, it's just like a sensory overload. There's so much signage in the place. There's signs everywhere, and there's people yelling. It's always jam-packed.
Music playing, demos going on.
It's an intense experience being there.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I love about the place is, I mean, we're both video game fans, and they have so many. They have used video games. They have new video games. They have, like, all the accessories and stuff. I remember
they have used games there?
Yeah, they do.
Like old vintage?
Yeah.
Or?
No. Okay. Sold back to the...
Okay, sold back.
And they have demo, like, tons of places
if
to see, like,
be
the
like
new
a big
games,
promo, like, and you're going to get, like, a little free flyer, that's the place you want to go. Or you want to try to play, like, the Nintendo Switch early, you're going to try Yodobashi.
Exactly. And their toy section, I think, is one of the other big draws. Because, I mean, if you love, like... models and trains and I mean just any anime related toys and stuff, it's like one of the
big
best
selection.
Places to go. The big major cities have Yodobashi cameras as well,
but they're not that prevalent. Like,
they're not.
I don't have one in Kobe, and Kobe is a city of 2 million people.
That's true.
I have to go to Osaka to go. And that's, I would go a lot more often if I had one in Kobe. I've only been to Yodobashi Camera maybe 10 times in my time out here. And
we went to the one here in Kyoto, right?
I've met you there quickly.
Yeah.
I've been to this one a couple times, Osaka Station. There's one in Akihabara.
Oh, the Akihabara one's probably the best one. But I think they all are very comparable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... It's a place that, like, every time I go, I always wish I... Like, I want to go back again, you know, pretty much immediately.
You gotta spend, again, you could spend so long in there. So
you could spend so much money,
sometimes, too. Yeah.
That's the problem with it.
They're big on, like, the point card system, you know, which, if you're a tourist, would be hard for you to do. If you live here, you know, you gotta do it. I have Lobby is what I have, so I have their point card.
Yeah, and if you want to, like, reserve something or pre-order something, it's a great place to go get a pre-order, So, like, for example, a Nintendo Switch just came out, and that would be a great place to pre-order it. Have you pre-ordered your Nintendo Switch?
No, I haven't. I'm in no rush to get one.
Me neither. But because I don't have any money. But anyways,
don't worry, they don't have any games either.
Oh dang.
Yodobashi Camera, awesome place.
Yeah,
quintessentially Japanese. One, there's a famous story among our friends that Matt took our friend Akagai and made him go to every floor, down every aisle through a Yodobashi Camera, and it took like, I don't know how long, a couple hours, right?
Well, it took a while, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he got exhausted.
Yeah, he told me the story I got was like, it was fun, but it was very tiring.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're not from Japan, sure. I mean, you could spend probably a whole day there and you wouldn't feel like you wasted a day if you're into the same stuff we're into. So
yeah, I think they have something for everyone, you know?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But that's Yodobashi Camera. It's in Kyoto, near Kyoto Station, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and that's Know Your Chain. So we'll be back with more about Kyoto.
And like we were saying before, I think, you know, people would say that Kyoto is a city, but I never really heard much about, like, the different areas of Kyoto, you know, or, like, what to do in Kyoto, or good restaurants, or just how it's different from Osaka. So that's kind of what we want to focus on for this segment. Now that we've talked about the temples and the shrines, we talked a little bit about the city. But I think, yeah, it took me a while to figure out that, like, the northern side of Kyoto was, like, where you want to be. Mm. I think the first couple times I came here...
You were just around the station?
I hung out around Kyoto Station, yeah.
Wow.
And,
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it was all right.
I mean, there's a lot you could see.
I think there's two times, including that bad time I told you about on my travel, and then I came out. I still liked it enough. But it was like the third time I came, and it was due to record shopping that then I found, like, oh yeah, all the record shops around this area. Shijo or Karasuma is one area I like. Those are the two station areas that are quite good. And everything in between, and you just walk for like hours out of any direction out of those two subway stations, and you're going to find lots of awesome stuff.
Yeah,
and that's where, like, the people live and hang out, and you don't see a ton of temples and shrines, you know, out in this area, but they're all on, like, the exterior. I mean, you'll see a couple small neighborhood ones, like you would anywhere in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, you'll basically know when you're there, when you're by the big river. There's a huge canal that goes straight through.
Big river, yeah, and there's, like, a small stream. I would say the area between the big river and the small stream are, like, cool spots to be.
Yeah,
on
the west side of the river, you get the big Shotengai, like, it's huge, like, shopping.
There's a couple
arcade,
intersecting ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
there's a famous market one with all the food, street food and stuff. And that place is it doesn't matter when you go, it doesn't matter if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, it's jam packed. I don't know why.
And then there's the shopping side, there's clothing and all sorts of other knickknacks and anime and Melon Books is over there, like a whole bunch of, like, I mean, places that you're kind of in every city.
I generally don't like Shotengais because they're a bit chainy. Like, there are a lot of franchises, not unique shops. I would say the Kyoto ones for me are a little bit better than average. They do have some more local stuff or more traditional things. Or even that food area, it is kind of cool. You know, it's not worth the crowd, but I would say the Shotengais here are better than average for sure.
Right.
But there's cool small streets right off the Shotengai, so sometimes you kind of got to go down one just to take the turn that you need, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the streets on the west side of the city, like between the big street and the river, like right in the middle, is kind of like where all of our favorite places are. A lot of good restaurants, a lot of good cafes, craft beers.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason we said before we just feel whenever we have to go, like we didn't get to do it, is because you just look in all these places and there's some of the most intimidating places, especially the restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen more intimidating restaurants in my life. What I mean by that is, like, it'll just be like a long, thin alleyway of, like, stone, like, dimly lit, and, like, this beautiful, like, Japanese garden. I see that a lot here.
Yeah.
This big garden, and then, I don't know, like, you don't know if there's, like, cameras or people are going to pop out if you go walk down this long, like, entrance, you know?
Yeah.
But it just looks beautiful, and it looks so expensive, too, you know? Like, that fit a lot of things here don't have like advertised menus outside. We walked by a ramen shop tonight and we were debating on if there's such a thing as too plain or too simple of a restaurant.
Right.
And there was like, I peeked in there as much as I could and there's literally no menu,
no signage or
no sign. What would you call the name of the shop? There's no name outside. There's just a picture of ramen, like a really simple line drawing of ramen.
Maybe that's the name, the restaurant formerly known as Ramen.
Yeah, yeah. But that's like a good example. Like, they're pretty intimidating places here. But the English is very high. I would say if you haven't lived here for a long time.
Yeah, probably the highest place
the highest
I've been
amount
to
of
actually
because of the tourism.
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned that because in Tokyo it's not that great,
not as good as it is here.
And
no.
It's better than it is in Osaka, but and Kobe, but Kyoto, yeah, I never have an issue. Yeah.
There's a weird duality though of that. You know, for us it's kind of nice the English, but it's more expensive here. I would say, besides Tokyo, this is the most expensive place in Japan.
Yeah.
Noticeably so, coming like an hour and a half for us to get here, you know. Yeah, everything, we're drinking beers. All the beers for me are about a dollar more than I pay in Kobe.
Yeah, yeah.
Restaurants are maybe 20 or 30% more.
Udon's dirt cheap in Osaka, but, you know, the udon that we had this afternoon, my wife and I had this afternoon, was like over 1,000 yen.
Whoa,
you know,
yeah.
So
you can get udon usually 3 or 4 bucks.
I mean, it's specialty, but at the same time, you know, like you should plan to spend a little bit more.
I'd say in general it's worth it.
Now, like, you've done Airbnb here.
Yeah.
Now, is Airbnb more expensive here than it would be in Tokyo or Osaka?
I don't know about Osaka because it's so close. And same with Kobe. Like, people always ask me for advice, and like, I don't know where to stay. I live there. Kyoto is more expensive for Airbnb than it is in Tokyo, which is crazy. I guess Tokyo is bigger, so there's more areas, and maybe the areas we're staying in Tokyo are, I usually like actually ritzier areas, but they're smaller, they're not that touristy. So if people are going on Airbnb, they might not know these neighborhoods that I like, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess ironically I know Tokyo better maybe than Kyoto. It's just such a big place that there's more niche areas. But yeah, Kyoto, the lodging is expensive too. So it's an expensive place. There's a lot of English. Some people maybe are turned off by that. Some might not be. But the artisan vibe is definitely there, whether it's food or the clothing shops. Everything just feels so handcrafted and not... You do see chains, but I would say in the Kansai area, you see the most like unique mom-and-pop shops here that don't seem to be big franchises, you know?
Right. On the east side of that big Shotengai, there, and if you cross the river, there's a lot of like buildings that look like traditional Japanese, like Edo
like,
era.
Almost like out of a Ghibli movie or
something. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. They got like cobblestone steps and they got wood walls and stuff. Like
lanterns
I said,
outside,
that's probably why they're so fire conscious, is because, you know, all the buildings are made of like this old, dry wood.
Yeah.
But those shops, sometimes they don't even have like signs on the doors, but they're awesome restaurants. Yeah. Are awesome.
You just peek in and see like the coolest scenes. Are you talking about the really small alley?
Yeah. I mean, they're not small alleys. They're big. It's a long street. It's full of like I said, it looks like traditional homes and stuff. I mean, maybe if we have some time, I'll take you over there. But there's a ice cream shop, and if you didn't know about the ice cream shop,
that's near Gyeon.
Yeah. If you don't know about that, that's there. You know that. I mean, I don't know how you'd know. It's just a sliding wood door, you know, with like a little sign.
Yeah.
There's no English signage over there on that side of the street in most places.
Yeah.
They try to keep some of Kyoto very.
Yeah, it feels like that. Yeah. Or hidden too, almost. I guess if you lived here, it'd be super annoying the amount of tourism. I think so. Things are expensive because of tourism here. But if you live here. Maybe
you ever gotten out to like the other sections of
Kyoto? Because when I did Airbnb once, it was a bad Airbnb. And it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I think you went to like the local grocery store there and stuff. No, it wouldn't be more than our areas that we live in. But yeah, I guess But like you could say Shinsaibashi or Sanamiya are touristy, but they're cheaper than here, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so if you're going to like downtown and gonna hang out, the nightlife, yeah, it's in that area. It's also the touristy area. It's expensive. But yeah, I'm sure if you're living here on the outskirts of town, it's not bad.
I feel like it's gotten more expensive.
Since you've been here?
Yeah, yeah. Really? Because, I mean, when I first came to Japan to live, my wife and I, we went on a honeymoon in Kyoto, and we stayed at a hotel, a really nice hotel, for like $75, and that was like summer.
Chris said that it's still the same. There's some special deal at that hotel. He was looking at it recently, and it's still like that.
Okay, so you have to find the special deals. But I feel like prices for a lot of things have gone up since.
Tourism has gone up crazy here because the Japanese yen has weakened a lot. It used to be really strong, crazy strong. So much so that like when we came out on our trips here before, we were broke because we were halving our money. Where now it's in the other direction. So yeah, tourism I'd say in the last 2 years has been crazy high. To an annoying amount where like I've gone out on Saturdays recently to like the downtown areas and it's so hard to get like seats at restaurants
or crossing the street like just today alone I came out of the subway and there was just tons of people like you know it was like it almost felt like the Shibuya crossing, you know, there was so many people around like that that exit. So like I mean I was just
there's a lot of like other Asian tourists, you know, but in Kyoto in particular I've seen a lot of French tourists here. I hear French spoken a lot. You maybe heard some on the podcast earlier.
Yeah, we talked about the manga cafe and how they had like the French mangas like was being showcased. So
yeah, there's some Kyoto French connection for sure. There's a Japan French connection in general, but especially in Kyoto I feel it more than anywhere else. Yeah, so yeah, for us, some of our favorite record shops you talked about before are here. And, some go back and listen to our record episode where we kind of detail that. But I think there's a music scene here for sure. It has its own music scene. We're at like the 8-bit bar where they have concerts.
You saw a concert here once.
In this bar. Oh, yeah. That was crazy because the main performer of the night was like this girl who was just kind of by herself in the corner all night. And we're all questioning, like, it's kind of interesting to come to a video game bar alone and not really play any games. You're just kind of sitting there in the corner, like, what's up with that? And then you're all shocked. And came time for the main performer, and she just stands up and goes, and everyone's like her biggest fan, you know? And she was the coolest person in the room. Concert here was great.
I haven't seen any shows.
It was wild. I mean, this place...
There's a venue called...
super small. It can hold, like, 50 people, 40 people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a tiny place.
Yeah, it gets pretty wild.
There's a venue called Metro.
Metro that I've been meaning to go up. To. Yeah.
They always have, big acts.
Towa Tei might live out here because he's always performing in Kyoto. And Hafi is from here, and he's performing a lot.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I mean, I see this guy Akakage in Osaka sometimes, and I mean, I see him in like he comes like out once a month, but he's a Tokyo-based guy. Okay. I mean, maybe they just get on the Shinkansen, and maybe that's the deal.
Kyoto likes that kind of music or something. But there's some strong music. I don't know the history behind
Half these are from out here.
Yeah.
And
Second Royal Labels is
Tofu Beats too.
No, he's from Kobe.
And then Handsome Boy Technique is also from Kyoto as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We'll play some Half B for, I think.
Oh, that's a good one. So the music is really strong here. The fashion is strong. People dress... Yeah, you see like the yukata and the kimono much more than you see in other parts of Japan, which is cool. You know, if you didn't know, like it's not just for special days. Some people will just be like, "Hey, I want to look nice today."
On a holiday, it's incredible. Yeah. Like because the yukatas and kimonos, like so many people, guys, girls, everybody's like wearing them. If you come out during I don't know what the exact date is, but it's like the coming of age day. If you come around that time, this Kyoto blows up with like crazy styles, and the girls get their hair like done
with
like,
all these and
extensions and all this stuff.
But I'm gonna say like the regular fashion is awesome here. It's not street. It's more sophisticated. A lot of suits and almost like vintage era. I saw a group of people on the subway platform today. It was so cool. Almost like swinger style. You know, like zoot suits and stuff. And just hanging out. Like I don't think they're going to a special party or anything. But there's a certain sophistication here. Kyoto stereotype is a little bit on a negative. I mean, it's formality, but there's a negative part of that that it's hard to crack them. It's more like Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
Where like the people are a bit sterile, you know. I've never seen that, but I could. They dress that way. They dress really, really nice.
It seems like, yeah, maybe they're a little more to themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe, or...
It's like Tokyo.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But I feel like in Tokyo, I do get more people, like, chatting with us.
Mm.
Now that you mention it, yeah, I feel like in Kyoto, it's a little more standoffish, but it's not that people aren't friendly. And
And they probably deal with a lot of annoying tourists a lot, too, right?
So
for us, you know, we might be seen as that when we walk in. But
we're not annoying. We don't do like podcasts and bars and distract everybody.
I don't know. Yeah, this like I said, even if you're not into the temples and all that, don't skip Kyoto. You gotta come here. There's a lot going on. The food's great. Like some of my favorite restaurants. The coffee scene is really good here. In general, in Japan, I think the coffee scene is kind of lacking internationally.
Yeah, it's starting to grow, but...
Kyoto, especially for me, has some of my favorite cafes.
Kyoto is good.
I'll give a couple of shout-outs. There's one, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a percent sign, and Arabica, A-R-A-B-I-C-A. That place is awesome. Really cool designs.
You hit me to a place called Cafe Independence.
Yeah, that place is great.
That place is really cool.
Yeah, it's more of a restaurant than like a hardcore coffee place.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's true. You can get beer there. You can get curry there.
It's
you can
really
get
like
a hip sandwich and stuff. But
if you're not smoking, then you're not cool there.
It does feel like a place where people like would smoke cloves and like discuss politics and stuff. You
it's
know?
Down in like a really old building. I like the vibe in there a lot.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be there in an earthquake.
No. Cafe Independence is cool. Cafe La Bibliothèque is awesome. Like, super cool traditional house with awesome plants going up to the ceiling and, like, natural lighting coming in. I want to take you there. I was thinking of going there.
Yeah, that's one I've wanted to go to, actually. Mm-hmm. I know of it. Yeah, my favorite cafe closed down. It was a place called Japanica, yeah, and that was a record store slash cafe, and unfortunately,
good deals there.
It closed, and there's a new building, there's a new restaurant in its place. We haven't tried it yet, but but I mean, like any place in Japan, things change quickly. Yeah. So, like a lot of places, what we mentioned might
be gone by the time you go.
Yeah, so
then you
better
get out.
Google them. Better get out here quickly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a wrap on Kyoto.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, again, part of the reason I don't talk about it more, I'm always talking about Tokyo, is it's not really a possibility. I work for kind of specialty schools, and they don't really have them here as much as they do in Tokyo. But if they did, I don't know, I would really think about living here more, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
I'd so live good. Here in a heartbeat. Yeah, if I got a good job, yeah, I'd move here, no doubt.
It's a great place.
The only thing that I feel is kind of lacking is that video game culture, but luckily we have La Siesta, you know, to give us our fix.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Every city here usually has like a kind of game area, and we can't really find it here. So if you know it, let us know on all of our social media.
Yeah.
You like that transition?
Yep. Contact us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're at Japan 2.0. You can spell out point. And then we're at wordpress.com at Japan 2.0.
That we are.
If you have any questions for us, please contact us. Rate and subscribe on iTunes. And,
we're working on getting them more Windows-friendly devices.
Yeah,
like
Stitcher.
Yeah. And maybe the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
We have our reasons. Don't worry. It's harder to do than you'd think in Japan.
Yeah.
So, on that note, who are we listening to today? You said
some Halfbeat. Yeah, let's
Kyoto's
listen to some
favorite.
Halfbeat.
Awesome.
I think we're gonna do Your Address.
Your Address.
Yeah, that's the name of the song, and it's kind of got a bossa nova-y kind of not really. It's more hip hop. I mean, the guy is a sample based guy, and it's all broken beat and break beat and stuff. So. I mean, if you've heard Halfbeat on this podcast before, so you probably know a little bit about him. If you go back to the Doki Doki Radio archives, and you'll see I did a little write-up on Halfbeat, so you should check that out, too.
All right.
With that, let's enjoy some Kyoto. Kanpai.
I bought a beat bow. 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 I bought a beat bow.